Alan Crane Productions, in association with the Emergent Life Studio, present the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for autumn semester 2025. Today, we'll have a look at the numbers, and then you will do student course evaluations, and then it is right on to quiz 8, your last quiz of the semester. This is the sort of comprehensive final quiz for you, and you'll have 30 minutes to take that quiz. And then once you're finished with that, that will be all I have for you, and you can then go home and get out of this inclement weather we're having here. Good. First, a look at the numbers. One of our last times we'll be able to do this, and I do want to show you something a little bit interesting in this one, but first, a look at the overall numbers, and as you can see, the Dow took a good hit today. It was bearish. Interestingly, the Dow was down 0.9%, almost a percent, but the S&P 500 was down only about a half a percent, and the NASDAQ, oddly, was down 0.38%. So it's kind of an inverted day. Normally, the Dow is the one that reacts the least, and then the S&P reacts more, and then the NASDAQ reacts the most. But in this case, it was kind of, it was inverted. And it's hard to explain that, but it was definitely, you could see that there was a rally after the initial drop in the morning. There was a rally, but then the rally fizzled out around a little after the lunch hour, and it just started going downward after that. And it's, even in the aftermarket, it's still pulling downward. Now, there are a couple of other signs that may be troubling too, but having a look here, the Nikkei was on the other side of the world last night. The Asian markets, the Nikkei was down a good, strong amount. But the Hang Seng was up two-thirds of a percent. So it's kind of a mixed message over there. On the other coming into Europe, though, now the CAC 40 and other European indices were down until about noon over there on the continent, and then they started rallying. They never did quite get back to where they started, but there was a rally at midday, and it trimmed the losses to virtually nothing. So it's kind of a mixed bag. And the FTSE, it was just in a kind of a grumbly mood all day, down a little bit for the day. Didn't do much of anything. Now here's where it gets a little interesting. And like I said, if this means something to you and what you see as part of what your life is going to be like as a professional, we can look at these numbers here. Like, for example, we see that gold is up there pushing against $4,300 per ounce. Now, it's not going to make it to $5,000 by the end of the semester, probably not by the end of the year. But we do have some definite indications, again, that gold is an investment harbor, a safe harbor, and investors are moving toward it, pushing the price of gold upward. And a large amount of that is simply the result of the numbers that are coming out about our economy. Now, the White House has decided that it doesn't want to show us the latest GDP numbers, and we suspect the numbers that are coming out on jobs reports, but there are private data services that are giving the numbers, and it is beginning to form the clouds for the storm. You said the GDP may very well have contracted a little bit. Jobs are not forming nearly as quickly as they need to be to keep the economy healthy, and other indicators are pointing to a very bad situation down the road. But now we're beginning to see those storm clouds organizing in some of the numbers that are coming out. If you look at the 10-year bond, the yield on it. It had made it down below 4%, that yield. And that's a benchmark yield. Whither goes that bond's yield, so go interest rates in general. But now the bond yield is on the upsurge, back up to almost 4.10%. That's unhealthy because as interest rates go up, you've seen the math of it. Raising interest rates lowers present values of future expected cash flows. And that means that there are going to be fewer projects being adopted and all of that good stuff. Lower employment for in industries that are into new projects and all that. So we have troubles on the horizon. Looking a little bit more down here, the sector map, it is definitely not a healthy sector map. Even the technology sector, that massive thing that seems to always be green, it wasn't. And so we're and reds, many more reds than greens on the sector map. So we're beginning to see the danger zone. That does not mean that every day is going to be a bear day. You're going to see Wall Street trying to support stocks, especially of its favored companies where it's put massive investments. They'll buy in to keep the stocks from sliding precipitously. But the pressure is now on the side of the bears pushing downward. How long will it take before it's a serious situation? Probably not until the second quarter. But you'll see more bear days than bull days. And every time it's a bull day, you'll see, well, the markets are rallying. And the bear days, they'll stay quiet in the financial news about it. But now you can look with your own eyes and see it. I wanted to show you something real quick here. And this is just treating us like another normal day here in the classroom, even though you're almost done with me. But I've been looking at different sectors. We looked at pharmaceuticals. We looked at automotive sector, the energy sector, defense sector. Let me show you a kind of a subsector, a sub-subsector would be fast foods. Now, this sounds like why would we look at fast foods? It's because, you'll see it, you'll see it. Let me try start with one like Wendy's. Wen, W-E-N. Now, first of all, I want you to look at that price, $8.23 a share. That's a decent price per share. But the next thing that you want to look at is the beta. The beta of Wendy's is only 0.39. This is a very low-risk stock. Isn't that interesting? So without, in the spirit of beating a dead horse, let me show you the one-year holding period return for Wendy's. If we bought it today, the forecast is that it will be $10.38 in exactly 1 year. So we take 10.38 divided by 8.23, and we subtract 1 equals, and then times by 100. That is just the capital gain. The stock appreciation is a staggering 26.12%. on Wendy's, of all things. Now, let's add in the dividend yield, and they have a dividend yield that's pretty darn respectable. Forward dividend yield, 6.63%. 6.63. Wendy's, your total one-year holding period return on lowly Wendy's, home of the hot and juicy cheeseburger, 32.75% on a 0.39 beta stock. That's one of the things about looking at numbers and not always just by looking at the ones that you're told by the talking heads. Lowly Wendy's, you put into that, and you the projection is almost a 33% return on your money. So in other words, if you put $100 into Wendy's, this projection says that in 1 year you'd have almost $133. You can't beat that. Now let me take you over and find another one. I thought Burger King was a public company. I don't know why I thought that, but it's not. But I can give you Mickey D's. And yes, McDonald's is, its trading symbol is MCD, so Mickey D's. Notice again, low beta, point, in this case, point, what is it, 0.52. So it's a low, it's a very conservative investment, and let's see what it would do in a one-year holding period return. Projected in 1 year, $331.20 divided by your investment today, if you did it today, 303.57 minus one. So the capital gain on McDonald's is a very respectable 9.10% for a stock that has half of the risk of the market. Now let's add in the dividend, which is a decent little 2.39%, and you will get a total holding period return, 1 year holding period return of, looks like 13.88%, something like that. Well, that's not bad at all for a low beta stock. So you see, sometimes think in your imagination, what subsectors do you not hear about? Now, interestingly enough, last night I was going through these and thinking about, okay, let me look at some other ones. Interestingly enough, if you just slip over a little bit into the pizza sector, Domino's, Papa John's, those kinds of places, their betas are above one, and their one-year holding period returns are not good at all. So apparently, there's this little safe harbor of those lowly fast food joints that are on the corners of America. They are really strong. They are good prospective investments. But you slide over to pizzas, which you would think everyone loves a pizza, and they are not nearly as attractive in terms of their betas, which are above one in a number of cases, and in terms of what the projected holding period, 1 year holding period returns are. So there's a little bit of a tail there as I close out this part of this course where I'm showing you how to think about investments, where you see these kinds of interesting things happening. And again, use your imagination. Think of subsectors that no one talks about or you don't aren't typically featured in the news. And have a look at the numbers of a few companies and see what you get. There are a couple of others that I won't be able to tell you about. But anyway, what I want you to do right now is go over here to you're going to do your student course evaluations, and I have to be out of the room, and our teaching assistant, Ms. Springer, will take care of any questions you have, and the announcements